What's the room again?
1240, down at the end.
Ooh, what's that?
Sammy, don't touch that. That's someone's old food.
Here we are. Do you have the key?
You have both of ours.
Oh, right. Not working.
Rub it.
Come on.
Try flipping it over.
Seriously.
Why can't we go inside?
I'm tired.
Give me yours.
You have mine.
All right.
What? Please, if you
Dad,
could just...
Dad, why aren't you opening the door?
Can everyone just shut the...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Football. Pumpkin spice. The holidays. Fall is the perfect time to make your house feel more like home. And right now, you can get up to 45% off custom window treatments at Blinds.com. Save now and enjoy for the rest of the year. A fall home refresh doesn't need to be a hassle, and ordering online shouldn't mean sacrificing style or service. Blinds.com has a premium selection of blinds, shades, shutters, drapes, and more. We even have motorized shades to make your life that much easier. Need help making a selection? Our design experts are always here for live consultations. Need help measuring or installing? We've got that covered too. With Blinds.com, there are never any hidden fees or misleading quotes, no showrooms or retail markups, and shipping is always free. See why Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45% site-wide. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, this is Stephen A. Smith from No Mercy. Festivals, football, flannels. Some say fall is their favorite time of year. And this fall, there are now updated COVID-19 booster shots designed to help protect against COVID-19 variants. If you've had your primary series, schedule an updated COVID-19 booster shot appointment as soon as you're eligible. And don't forget to enjoy the foliage, sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
All right, Pats Nation, it's time to go behind enemy lines and get ready for this Thanksgiving night delight with Skol out at U.S. Bank Stadium, a place most Patriots fans. Oh, is that?
That's right. I bring my own damn sound effects to the podcast. That's right.
I can't even introduce our guest for our Minnesota Vikings preview without him actually. Oh, this is amazing. Nice. He's got his own soundboard. He's got his own sound effects. I was like, wait a sec. We had technical difficulties before this got going, and this guy's sound
bombing. That's right. We've hacked into your Patriots podcast with Skol chanting. That's what's going to happen here. Yes.
I love it. Ladies and gentlemen, it is an honor and a pleasure to record the Behind Enemy Lines Vikings preview portion of today's podcast, which we record on the 10th anniversary of the last time the Patriots played on Thanksgiving night. That's right. We're recording on the day of the butt fumble anniversary. With us today, the director of Score North, the podcast host from Purple Daily, one of the top 15 podcasts talking football in America right now, and of course, the unofficial CEO of Vikings Twitter, the one, the only Phil Mackey, joins Six Rings and Football Things. Phil, I'd ask how you're doing, but it sounds like you're doing pretty well, all things considered.
The 40-3 ass kicking. I feel like the reason why Purple Daily is in the top 15 is just trolling Cowboys fans wanting to listen to, they just want to hear Vikings fans cry from, 48 hours ago and just laugh and cackle.
Listen, Phil, honestly, like Andy and I are both native New Englanders. We're massholes, right? And, part of the whole entire thing about, why do we have such hard hearts and why are we such difficult people is because, like, secretly, like, spite and schadenfreude are two of, like, the main components to our soul and what keeps it. Like, it's not about joy. It's not about making sure that we, us, and ours are fulfilled and happy. It's more about, so long as they're miserable, or at least as miserable as us, then things are good. Like, I sneakily will tune into sports radio of whoever the Patriots may beat, like, the day after as well, because let's be honest, there's a little something satisfying about that.
So for you, it's like,
because I'm an a-hole, and I'm not going to, what am I going to start apologizing for it now?
So for you, it's like if the Red Sox win, great. If the Patriots win, great. But if a Yankees fan gets hit by a bus, then okay, now your day, not dead, but like, you know, just you know, 24 hours in the hospital or something, then your day has been made.
I'm sure you grew up as a diehard Vikings fan with a similar adage. Like in New England, it was always, you know, I got two favorite teams, the Red Sox and whoever's playing the Yankees. And I'm sure for you as a Vikings fan, you got two favorite teams, the Vikings and whoever is hopefully beating Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. I think one of our favorite segments every week, every week this season, usually it's only three times, it's a Packer vent line where we just pull crying Packer fans from post-game shows around Wisconsin. And it's been a fruitful business this year because I think they've lost more times this year than the last 2 years combined. And so... So yes, it's been a combination of celebrating eight Vikings wins, however they've gotten them, we don't know, and seven sad Packer fan Sundays. Yeah.
All right. So let's just
start with that. Are they as good as their record? Are the Vikings as good as their eight wins? You sound like you're a little dubious.
I would have said before the Cowboys game that I'm an analytics guy through and through. I am as nerdy when you want to dive into the numbers as anyone. And so I was trying to find ways when they were 8-1. To sort of justify, well, their point differential's not that great, but they've been great in the high leverage situations late in the fourth. They were like, I think they're the highest scoring team up until the last couple weeks, inside 4 minutes of each half, for instance. So they turn it on when they need it. And Kirk Cousins actually has more fourth quarter comebacks since the beginning of last year than any quarterback in the league. We used to mockingly refer to him as Mr. Game-Winning Drive when he would get the one per year, you know, between 2018 and 20. And he's actually been really good in those situations. But to answer your question, they are not as good as their 8-2 record. They are the only 8-2 team in the history of the NFL to have a minus point differential. So
that's insane. And, like, that is so difficult. If you say you're like a stats and analytics guy, I can guarantee you that nothing that Nate Silver or any of the other like Elon Musks of football social media could put together that would find a way to have an 8-2 record, six games above 500, and have a negative point differential.
Yeah. I feel bad for Tony Romo and Jim Nantz, too. They sent the CBS A-team all the way up to Minneapolis. Here we go. Vikings, Cowboys, 5 minutes into the third quarter. Not the fourth quarter. 5 minutes into the third quarter. And James Brown comes on from the studio and says, basically, we're so sorry for what's happening. We are so sorry. We're just going to kind of awkwardly slide you into Steelers-Bengals now. And you have Tony Romo and Jim Nantz doing a regional broadcast for like an hour and a half. It's ridiculous.
You mentioned it earlier, and Andy and I were doing the post game show covering that crazy Patriots win at the last second with the Marcus Jones punt return. And we have on TVs in the studio, and both of us were sort of side eyeing that game and just constantly updating the audience like, oh boy, the team we're playing Thursday might be really angry. It's 34-3 and it's not that close, everybody. Like, it was, wow. What the hell happened? What happened Sunday?
Everything. It was, you know, so the Vikings, the other loss that they had this season was to the Eagles in week two, Monday Night Football, if I'm recalling correctly. 24-7, on paper, it looked like a blowout, but you could kind of sit there after the game and pick through, okay, well, yeah, it looks bad, but the tight end Irv Smith dropped a wide open 60-yard touchdown pass, so that would have been seven. And then, okay, the Vikings got into the red zone, and Jefferson ran the wrong route, and Cousins, it would have been a touchdown pass, but it turned out to be an interception in the red zone. So then that's 14. You could kind of play that game. You can't really play that game against Dallas. They just got completely obliterated in the trenches. The other problem, too, with Cousins, and I'm not blaming Cousins for this loss, because I think he faced a 60% pressure rate, which... Remember Patrick Mahomes running for his life in the Super Bowl 3 years ago?
Yep.
That was like a 35 or 40% pressure rate. And we were all like, oh, what's the guy like? What's he supposed to do? He's running for his life. Imagine that, but worse for Kirk Cousins, who's less mobile. So I'm not blaming him. But once things start to go poorly, okay, there's a strip sack 30 seconds into the game. Dallas is getting pressure. He's not going to be the guy that just puts the team on his shoulders. And so, there's a very specific game flow the Vikings need, and maybe the Patriots can provide it, which is Vikings jump out to a lead. They can kind of lean, you know, they can pass rush against a young quarterback. When they fall behind, generally, I know they have a bunch of fourth quarter comebacks, but it's going to be really hard for them to just like be down 17 points and come back and win. The Patriots might not be able to score 17 points. So that's good news for the Vikings on Thursday, I guess.
So I was reading the Justin Jefferson postgame comments criticizing or seemingly criticizing Kevin O'Connell for not adjusting the passing game. You talked about the pressure. I think Cousins was sacked 7 times. And Jefferson said, you know, where was the short passing game? Let's get rid of it quickly. We didn't adjust. Is this the first maybe adversity that the young whippersnapper coach is facing in his first season here?
Yeah, it probably is. And I saw those comments too. We played that clip from the quotes look way worse than the clip.
Oh, okay.
He's not really calling. I saw the quote first and I was like, whoa, that's interesting. Yeah. Especially compared to Mike Zimmer, who is just kind of cantankerous and lost the locker room the last couple of years. Kevin O'Connell owns this locker room in a good way. Some of the post game, like he gives out game balls like any coach does after games. And it's like he's a player giving out game balls to fellow players because he's only 37 years old. So his personality and demeanor is such that I think even with adversity, I don't think he's losing the locker room. I don't really read anything into the Justin Jefferson quotes, but you know, one of the big storylines for me this week is it's already a short week. You're coming off getting your ass handed to you by the Cowboys and you're facing the greatest, smartest coach in NFL history. Now you guys might pick nits. I don't know where you stand on Belichick the last couple of years, but you got a rookie head coach who's 37 on a short week against a guy that knows what he's doing on a short week. So it's not the hand-selected opponent that I would choose to bounce back 4 days after getting beat 40-3 at home.
But at the same time, and this is what provides for a fascinating wrinkle in a series of wrinkles that should make this one hell of a Thanksgiving night game, is the idea that Kevin O'Connell, I'm not going to say he knows where the bodies are buried and doesn't still have like a company pass card, but he was drafted by Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick the season after the imperfect season in New England, was with them for a little while. And obviously Belichick understands him. At least he did as a quarterback. Now, how his offensive mind works may not be the same, Phil, because, you know, he adopted more of the Sean McVay system as he spent time with him, obviously out there and won a Super Bowl last year. But there seems to be a lot of mutual respect between the two. Belichick's not surprised by the success O'Connell's having. O'Connell obviously said he owes a lot to Belichick. So all that being said, what is Minnesota saying about, or what do you think Vikings fans are saying and feeling about the team on the field? Because even Mac Jones said to our radio station the other day, like, that matters more. It's, you know, it's not the coaches battling as much. It's not, you know, Mac versus Zach. It's Mac versus the defense. So what do you guys think about the Patriots offense and their struggles recently?
Yeah, I'll come back to that in a second. I was reading some quotes from Bill Belichick at some point. I think it was like someone dug up quotes from when Kevin O'Connell was released back in, was it before 2009 season? I think they released him.
Yeah, I think it was Brian Hoyer, stint.
It was 1 year in.
And Brian Hoyer wound up being on the roster instead.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure I saw, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't have these in front of me, but Bill Belichick praised Kevin O'Connell and said something like, you know, he's going to make a career out of this, if not as a player, as a coach. And imagine being like 1 year into your NFL career as a third, not even like a seventh round draft pick. Wasn't he a third round draft pick?
Yeah.
And you're 1 year into your career and you're being booted from the team. And he's saying like, you're definitely going to make a living, not as a player.
And he nails it. And like a decade and a half later, he freaking nails it.
He did. And I think it's going to wind up being a great hire for the Vikings, but, on the Patriots side, the thing that the Vikings should be the most worried about is they're going through a stretch right now of like facing four of the five best defensive pressure defenses in the league. So the Commanders get pressure. They beat the Commanders, you know, down by double digits in the second half. The Bills, and then obviously the Cowboys, the Patriots are on that list. They get the Jets then. And, you know, people can sit here and make fun of, oh, the Patriots and the Jets can't score points. Yeah, but you just put up 3 points against a great pressure defense. So they might not have to score many points. 10 points, 13 points if you can't score a touchdown against a pressure defense. So, you know, offensively, you can sit here again and say, well, Mac Jones, you know, the Patriots offense isn't really moving the ball. But the Vikings defense is 30th in the league in yards per play allowed. They get gashed even by backup quarterbacks. So, I'm not, if I'm the Vikings and fans here, I'm not going to get too haughty looking at this game as the antidote to what happened against Dallas. I actually think it's more of the same formula with the defense that you're facing. So it's going to be a problem.
So I think Patriots fans on one hand look at the roster for the Vikings and say, wow, there's a lot of talent, offensive talent on that roster. Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, you know, it kind of has all the pieces. It's sort of like when people watch the 49ers, you're like, wait a minute, you have a wide receiver, a running back, a tight end. And then they get to the quarterback, a lot like the 49ers. Jimmy Garoppolo, who we know and some people love around here, isn't the most respected quarterback who's gone to a Super Bowl in the NFL. Kirk Cousins, I can't tell you how many times I've heard, well, at least we get to play Kirk Cousins in prime time. So yeah. Where is Kirk Cousins right now? Because I look at his numbers, they're not great. And even the offense as a whole is probably not as good as the talent might suggest. So is this going to be Kirk Cousins' prime time layup for the Patriots defense?
It's such a weird dynamic because he's putting up, like you said, the worst numbers of his career, even though he's got probably the best coach in terms of just like an offensive-minded collaborator. Mike Zimmer didn't start meeting with Kirk Cousins on a weekly basis until their fourth year together. And it was Cousins' idea. He had to drag Zimmer every Thursday into a 45-minute meeting. I'm sure Zimmer was just like checking his watch after every 5 minutes. Okay, can I go back to my defensive meeting? So he's got all this infrastructure. He's got a head coach that collaborates right with him. Mm-hmm. Justin Jefferson's, I think, the best wide receiver, or at least one of the two or three in the league. T.J. Hockenson is the best pass-catching tight end they've had in a while. The offensive line was atrocious against Dallas, but it's the best the offensive line has been in a number of years. And yet, he's putting up these ridiculously terrible numbers. He's making up for it, like I said earlier, in these high-leverage spots. He's just sort of coming alive when they need him. And some of that is just his willingness to throw 50-50 balls and being aggressive down the field to Jefferson. We broke down one of the shows we do on Purple Daily. It's a weekly show with Alex Boone, who's a 10-year NFL veteran. He started a Super Bowl with the 49ers, played for the Vikings. And we did a breakdown with the All-22 film of the one-handed Jefferson catch. One of the greatest catches we've ever seen, right?
Ever. He outdid Steph Diggs, who had a one-handed catch right for the ages just two quarters prior.
Yep. And so if you look at that from a zoomed out perspective, TJ, it's a 4th-and-8 team. TJ Hockenson is the underneath route, and he's being ignored, rightfully so, because he's like 5 yards off the line of scrimmage. But we both said at the same time, wow, for the first 6 years of his career, at least the first 4 years with the Vikings, he throws the underneath route to Hockenson because he's open and just crosses his fingers and prays that Hockenson can yak his way to the 18 yards you need for a first down. And if not, you know, ain't my fault. I completed a pass. Whatever. My completion percentage looks good.
Right.
But he threw it into quadruple coverage to Jefferson, which was likely to be intercepted, but that's the right throw. So he's doing more of that stuff that I think is making his numbers worse temporarily, but it's giving them a better chance in some of these big, you know, third down, late in the game, whatever. So that's the best way I can sum him up, is him being better in those situations is better for the team than him being great on the scripted drive and him being great, you know, in garbage time, but melting when it matters most. It's better for the team this way.
It's very interesting, Andy, because I feel like in a lot of ways that reflects how Mac Jones could or should
Absolutely.
Be playing. I'm sure we're hive mind on this because, you know, that's the thing is like,
difference is, though, Mac has been told to throw the 50-50 ball. The problem is the guy on the other end is not Justin Jefferson.
That's the problem. Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Devontae Parker, Jacoby Myers, Kendrick Bourne, Nelson Aguilar, not quite even in the same league or ballpark as Justin Jefferson, who, Phil, is easily wide receiver one in the NFL this year. And it's not even close. I don't even want to know what he's going to get paid when his payday comes. Like, they're going to have to invent a new rare stone for him to put on his grill because diamonds won't be expensive enough. That kid is going to bank it so hard. And he should. And he's like one of the guys like I love to watch as my kids are getting more into football. Wouldn't surprise me one day if, like, you know, my oldest boy asked for a Justin Jefferson jersey and I would get it for him. First, I would scold him for not wanting a Patriots jersey. What's wrong? You don't want a Jonnu Smith jersey?
Don't your kids want Kirk Cousins chains? Feel like that's the...
Yeah, I listen, this to me, like, I know this is a thing everyone loves to mock, but for some reason, I can't get enough of it. Why does Kirk Cousins, as the dad who accidentally stumbled into the stash of Molly doing the shirtless dance on the airplane, like the greatest vibe ever. Just
doop-de-doo. And then he shut it down. He shut it down before the Bills game. He said, hey, we can't have that stuff going on Instagram anymore. I think I'm going to retire Kirko Chains. It's like, dude, you just lost 40-3. Clark Kent needs to go back to the phone booth for this game against the yeah. I want to see after a Vikings victory, Kirko Chains, 50-yard line shirtless, and two giant turkey legs in each hand after right, they beat the Patriots.
Doing a new dance with each of them right there, just like taking them down.
Yeah,
that's what you have. Like, that's the thing. I want people. We, Andy and I think a lot of Patriots fans get tired of just like, we call it Bella speak, you know, just everyone like, well, we got to be better. We got to do our job. Yeah. And then the players reflect it. If Bill, sometimes you just want to hear people say like, yeah, this shit isn't good enough. Or just like, we weren't good enough for F this. Or just like, yeah, you know what? Kirko Chains really wants to bust out a turkey leg after this game. And we're going to have to beat the best coach in football history to do it. And it's nice to hear that the fans respond well to it. But before we go, I always like to get a feel for, you know, like there's the guys, and obviously that's Justin Jefferson and Dalvin Cook. Then there are sometimes the other guys, and maybe that's Hockenson. Obviously we're familiar with him, and Madison looks like Cook whenever he goes in there. If they didn't wear different jerseys, you'd say it's the same guy. Who's one guy on each side of the ball that are like the guys we don't know about who may pop or do something special Thursday night?
Well, I'll give you one that actually won't pop on Thursday night, and it's going to be a huge factor in this game. The Vikings have one of the three best left tackles in the NFL, Christian Darrisaw. He's a second-year player. He was a first-round pick in the 2021 draft. He didn't start until like week 8 or something in 2021. And whether you go off like PFF grades or you just watch games and he never shows up with a penalty or anything, he gave up his first two sacks of the season in that Dallas game. He was knocked out of the previous game with a concussion, went through protocol, came back, and then got knocked out again with a concussion in this game. He's out on Thursday night. So the Vikings are, if he was in, I would tell you that's one of the best left tackles in the league. Some interesting matchups off the edge there. I don't know what the hell the Vikings are going to do. Blake Brandel is like a 7th-round pick that he gave up 5 pressures and a blowout half taking over for Darrisaw. So that's one of them on the offensive side to watch out for. On the defensive side, I would say on the interior, Harrison Phillips came over from Buffalo. Buffalo was kind of his revenge game. The Bills sent him off into free agency, and he has been one of the more anonymous, underrated players, interior defensive linemen in the league so far this year. But I don't know that he has been enough. I think they lack a lot of depth on the interior, and Dalvin Tomlinson is the other starting interior defensive lineman, and he's been out for a few weeks with an injury. He may or may not play on Thursday. So I think like there's just some key guys that may not play that are going to make a huge impact for the Patriots' potential success.
So who do you have? What's the prediction?
Man, we haven't done our official, so I haven't put a ton of thought into this specifically yet, but so I'm just going to wing it off the top of my head here and say,
that's what we do all the time. Anyway, it's fine.
I'm going to say, take the under on 42.5. I feel like.
Wow.
I'm trying to do math on how this game gets to like the mid-30s with the Vikings offensive line being what it is and the Patriots offense. This feels like a race to 17 points.
Those are called Patriots games this year.
I know.
That's what I was going to say.
Patriots and Broncos. Like, if the Patriots and Broncos could just play every week, it would be a 17-16. I'm going to say the Vikings do get back on track in a hideous football game that winds up being like 16-13 or 16-10, something like that. So
it's like a Patriots game.
Yeah. Hideous football is something we know about for 59 minutes and 35 seconds last week.
Yeah. And by the way, this just in, I know you probably don't have a pipeline to Kevin O'Connell's headset. Probably not the best idea to punt it directly to Marcus Jones with the game on the line.
Yeah.
That's a good
piece of strategy. I will definitely write a strongly worded letter to Kevin O'Connell here. By the way, do you guys have to change your podcast name every like 6 months? I know it's been a rough year and a half or whatever for the Patriots, but you know, do you have like the 7 rings, 8 rings artwork lined up for
like Belichick's boat? Belichick does it with his boat every few years.
Yeah, we've taken a lot of guff for like naming the podcast Six Rings because it's like, wow, what a boast. What a flex that is. You know, it's a cocky move. And at the same time, it's also like, yeah, well, I don't know.
It might be stuck on that for a while.
We might be there for a while.
we actually launched our podcast back in 1960. It was called Zero Rings, this Vikings podcast, and the name still holds up.
So that's good. But there's a lot of other teams that'll wrestle you for that belt, so you better be ready. Get Kirko chains ready to maybe throw down on that one. Phil, it's been an awesome time previewing the game with you. I actually think it's going to be a bit more of a high scoring affair for some reason. I think something's going to shake loose between the two. I can see both teams randomly getting into the 20s. I think it's going to be an awesome game. Judon may feast, but if Justin Jefferson does get that direct pipeline to head coach Kevin O'Connell, the short passing game could be in play. You could take advantage of a linebacking core that isn't so terrific on the Patriots, or Andy says kind of blows. So I think it's going to be a thriller. Any which way, everybody, make sure you give him a follow. It's at Phil Mackey on Twitter as well. Part of Score North. Purple Daily is an excellent football podcast. You want to be a part of that as well. And hopefully you Patriots fans do not end up on the episode where he plays crying Patriots fans after the Vikings possibly beat the Skull Heart. Hey Phil, have a happy Thanksgiving as well, my man. Take care of yourself. We'll hope to catch up to you down the line.
Awesome, thank you both, appreciate it. We'll see you in the Super Bowl someday. Maybe we'll see.
Yeah,
maybe
someday, probably not soon.
What's the room again?
1240 down at the end.
Ooh, what's that?
Sammy, don't touch that. That's someone's old food.
Here we are. Do you have the key?
You have both of ours.
Oh, right. Not working.
Rub it.
Come on.
Try flipping it over.
Seriously.
Why can't we go inside?
I'm tired.
Give me yours.
You have mine.
All right.
What? Please, if you
Dad,
could just...
Dad, why aren't you opening the door?
Can everyone just shut the...
Don't go there. Go on a real vacation. Go RVing. Learn more at GoRVing.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.